Okay, let's go. We're on page 6. Last time we did Yom Ravi, which is the sun and the moon, and we learned about the moon lessening and the moon shrinking, and therefore we got the stars and everything else. Okay, now we're up to Pasuk Chaf, middle of the page of page 6. The Yom Elokim Hashem said, this is the fifth day of creation, okay? First day he made light, second day he made the heavens, third day he made vegetation, fourth day he made the sun and the moon and the stars, fifth day, we're going to see what he made. The Yom Elokim Hashem said, Yishritzu Amayim, maybe in this one, Yishritzu Amayim, let the word waters team, that means, shrutz means to a lot, like to multiply a lot, Sheretz Nefesh Chaya, to creepy living creatures. Now, Sheretz refers to all the creepy things, in the water, out of the water, it's all creepy things. And the birds should fly over the earth, across the expanse of the heavens. Okay? That's what the pasuk simply says. So basically, on the fifth day, Hashem made creepy things, fish, and birds. Those are the three things Hashem made on the fifth day. Now, number one, okay, by the way, why is Sheretz called things that creep? Because the word Sheretz is Shehuratz. It runs. That's where Sheretz, right? Shehuratz. Ratz means it runs. The creepy things run. They don't walk, they run. So that's how the Mefoshim explain. Now, Nefesh Chaya, what does it mean here, Nefesh Chaya? Nefesh Chaya, the Mefoshim explain, things that moving things have a soul. Inanimate doesn't have a soul. We'll explain in a second that it does. But inanimate objects are not called Nefesh Chaya. Nefesh Chaya means actually when it moves. Now, even though Darizal writes that every object has a Nefesh, a soul, which is the power of Hashem keeping it in existence. But Nefesh Chaya means when it starts moving. The trees, the plants, all the things on the third day don't move anywhere. They're connected to the ground. In fact, when they're separated from the source, they die. But there's a very interesting Kleyok over here. It's a really interesting Kleyok. He says like this. He says, okay, birds are intermediaries between behemoths that came from the ground and fish that came from the water. Okay? Now, all... What? One second. He says like this. Shenivru min ha-rak... Shenimtza sha-efes m'mutsoyim bein ha-behemoth shenivru min ha-adama uvein ha-dogim shenivru min ha-mayim. But he says more. It's very interesting what he says. All these things were created to serve a person. And he says, what is serving a person? Eved, right? Eved. He said, Eved stands for Eif, Behema, and Dogim. It's very interesting. Eif, Behema, and Dogim, birds, Behema, animals, and Dogim. Okay? Now, person has controls Yam and Yabasha, that a person should have everything. Okay? Now, so he says like this. Tzadikim, Beinanim, and Rishoyim. Right? He says the Rishoyim are likened to behemoths. The Beinanim are likened to birds. He says that fly above the coarseness of the world. But Dogim refer to Tzadikim. It's interesting. Fish, I'll explain why in a second. Fish, we refer to the tzaddikim. The wicked people are animals. They act like animals, basically. And the birds are in between the fish and the animals. Now, what does this mean? So he says like this. By fish, we didn't get there yet. Well, we're going to get there. Hashem bless the fish in Pasuk HaBeis coming up. Pru urvu umilo samayim. Just see, people had a bracha to be fruitful, multiply. Fish have a special bracha. V'lemer, Hashem said to the fish, Pruvu umilu samayim bayamim, and the birds should fly on the earth. Okay? So he says like this. Simply, Rashi says, later we'll get there, why did a fish need a special bracha to be fruitful and multiply? And birds need a bracha? Because fish are captured. People fish. People kill birds. So they have to be replenished. So they needed a special bracha for fish and birds to be replenished. But by fish, it's a much greater bracha. It's a double bracha. Pru, evu. By birds, there's only one bracha. But besides that, he says a remarkable thing. Why are tzaddikim likened to fish?
They mind their own business.
First of all, not true. The bigger fish eat the smaller fish. There's bullying in the fish department. Okay? They do bully. The bigger fish eat the smaller fish, which is bullying. But it says like this. Fish, unlike birds and unlike animals, fish are always connected to the source. You take a fish out of water, it's dead. Fish must always be in water. What, not only that, when you look at the water and fish, you don't see fish. You see the water. Because, what does it mean? The only thing you see is the yam, the ocean, which represents mayim of Teira, of Kedusha, of mikvah, of purity. And the fish are constantly bottled, subjugated, and nullified, and given over completely to their source. The second you take it away from their source, they're dead. The famous story in the Gemara, everybody knows this famous story, when Rabbi Kiva was learning Torah, after the Romans decreed that whoever gets caught learning Torah is going to be killed. So the students came to Rabbi Kiva and they said, Rabbi, how can you still learn Torah? You're going to be killed. You're going to get caught and you're going to kill. So the Rabbi Kiva said to them this famous mashal. They tell to all the kids about the Sevilia Gemara. Rabbi Kiva said to them, there's a mashal, there's a wolf walking by the water. A fox. A fox is walking by the water. And he sees the fish swimming back and forth. So he wanted a meal. So he says to the fish, why are you running back and forth? So the fish said to him, we're running away from the fisherman's nets. So the fox says to the fish, why don't you come out on dry land with me? And you'll be safe from the fisherman's net. Okay? But the fox wanted is you should have a dinner. Right? So they said to him, is that why you're supposed to be the smartest of all animals? They said, you're a fool. When we're in the water, we have a chance of being caught, a chance of staying alive. When we leave the water, we're for sure dead. It's not what to talk about. So Rabbi Kiva said, Torah for a Jew is like water. When I'm in the water, I'm alive. I might be caught by the Romans. I might not be caught by the Romans. If I stop learning Torah, for sure I'm dead. Spiritually, for sure I'm dead. Right? So therefore, what is the level of tzaddikim? Tzaddikim are likened to fish. You know, it's interesting. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, not in Shulchan Aruch itself, but in the commentary of Shulchan Aruch. You know, there's a custom Shabbos to eat fish. Right?
Yeah.
So why is it, besides the fact that Dag, Dalet Gimel equals 7, all the foods that we eat on Shabbos equals 7. You know that all the foods that we eat on Shabbos equals 7. I'll explain why in a second. But besides that, it says in Kabbalah that the neshamas, whatever it means, don't ask me, the neshamas of certain tzaddikim are reincarnated into fish. And when you eat the fish on Shabbos, you elevate those neshamas of those tzaddikim. So tzaddikim are very much likened to fish. Why? Because they're always in their source. They're always connected to God. They never leave the source. So behema represents the wicked people who act like animals. The birds that fly above the earth, above animalistic things, they're the intermediate people, the beinanim. And the tzaddikim are likened to fish. And that's what the word eved everything was made to serve mankind. It stands for Eif, Behem, and Dogim, that everything was made to serve mankind. So that's what the Kleoker says over here. By the way, just Darchaga for a second. All the foods of Shabbos equal 7. For instance, Yayin, Yod, Yud, Nun, is 70. Right? Is what's called in Hebrew, there's an English word for that, I don't know what it is. Misper Katan, 70 is really 7.
Common denominator?
No. You add the numbers together, like if you have 5, 2, 3.
7 plus 0 is 7.
Or let's say you have Chala, right? Ches, Lamed, Hey, is 8, and 3, 38, and 5 is 43. So Chala numerically equals 43. 4 and 3 is 7. Basar equals bases to Shin and Resh is 300 and 500. So Basar equals 502. 5 and 2 equals 7. All the foods we eat, I did ice cream also. Ice cream also equals 7. It's very important. Glida also equals 7. All the foods we eat on Shabbos equals 7. Okay? So dog equals 7. But besides that, dogim represented tzaddikim that are completely bottled in the source of the water. So that's what Hashem says. You create the creepy things.
Mashka doesn't equal 7.
Huh?
Mashka doesn't equal 7.
It does?
Mashka?
Why not?
No, yayim.
Okay, yayim, but even mashka.
What are you talking about?
What? Beer.
Soup.
Marak also equals 7. All the foods they eat on Shabbos, the regular dog and marak and off and basar and all that equals 7. Okay. What? It says you're supposed to eat every meal. You're supposed to eat all the shudas also. Okay. Now, it's brought down in Sfarim that by shalosh, if you're eating shalosh, you're supposed to have fish.
But every meal too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. On Shabbos, yeah. That's what's brought down in Halacha. Okay, anyway. But there's another interesting thing over here that they quote from the Ramban. One second. The first 3 days and the second 3 days. Oh yeah, here he says. Okay. You have the first 3 days of creation. Now we're going to the last 3 days of creation, 4, 5, and 6. Okay. So, the first day of creation, what did God create? Light. What did he create on the fourth day of creation? The sun and the moon, which is also light. Second day of creation was the atmosphere, the dry land, right? Where am I reading? I'm reading the wrong place. Okay. Life first day, Midas. The water atmosphere, the second day, were filled with life on the fifth day. What happened on the fifth day? God created the fish, which filled the water, which was created on the second day, the water with the separation. Dry land on the third day, that was the creations of the sixth day, people and animals that are on the dry land. Okay? So they parallel the first 3 days of creation with the second 3 days of creation when things came into more tangibility in the second 3 days of creation. Okay, so now it says like this. Vayivra l'kim, Hashem created Esataninim and Magdalim, the two great sea giants. Okay? We'll soon say what that means. Ve'eith kol nefesh achaya, and every living being that creeps, asher shartzu amayil minayim, that the waters teemed out after their kind. Ve'eith kol eif konef l'minayim, and all the winged fowl, meaning all birds, which, by the way, according to certain opinions, means the angels. Some of Hashem say the angels were created on the second day. Some of Hashem say they were created on the fifth day. Vayaru l'kim kitev, and Hashem saw it was good. Okay? Now, what does it mean Hashem created the big taninim? Taninim agadalim. So, Rashi says, from the Medrash, he created the Leviathan uben zugai. The Leviathan and its counterpart, the male and the female of the Leviathan, as it's called in English, Leviathan, sea giants. They're not whales. It's a remarkable big creature. Rashi says, Hashem killed it, Yeah.
Isn't that when the Moshe arrives, they're
going to...
1 minute.
No, he killed one of the
babes. Yeah. Medrash HaGadol says, Levyosim ben Zugay, he created them Zoch in the Keva, he killed in the Keva, he killed the female Levyosim, and he salted it for Tzadikim L'Asulavi. Why? So Rashi says, Shem Yifru V'Yirbu, if these two sea giants would start multiplying, the world would not be able to exist. They would overrun the world. Okay? So we learned in a Maimer recently that it says when Mashiach comes, God is going to make a meal. Huh? He's going to make a meal. What's going to be at the meal? It's going to be Sharabar. Sharabar means a special axe. Huh? What? And Livyasan. And the little... I think it's called Leviathan, but Leviathan, which is the fish. The Medrash says the Leviathan is going to shecht the Sharabar with its fins, not the scales, with the fins, and the Sharabar is going to pick up the Leviathan out of the water with its horns. Okay? Now, obviously, it doesn't mean the way it literally sounds. Okay, because obviously it's a much different story. It says like this. This is a phenomenal concept. First of all, the world says an interesting thing. Why does God need for the meal for Mashiach's time? He needs meat and fish. Why can't he have only one? Why doesn't he need meat and fish? So people are gonna ask, people are gonna ask, who shechit is it? So you say it's going to be Hashem's going to shecht this. You know, I don't trust it, give me fish. You say, I don't trust Hashem shechit to give me fish. But the Leviathan and the Sharabar, by the way, which was created on the fifth day of creation, is the Taninim, the fish, the Leviathan. And the animals created on the sixth day, which includes the Sharabar, represents hidden and revealed. Remember, we learned already before. Half the world is ocean, half the world is yabasha. Yam represents the concealed levels. You look at the yam, you only see the sea. You don't see anything in it. The dry land is everything revealed. Okay? It says, there are certain neshamas of tzaddikim, of Yosin Sherabad is the meal for the tzaddikim la'osud lovi. So what does that mean? There are certain tzaddikim that are called Leviathan, and there are certain tzaddikim that are called, they're avayd sharabod. Meaning like this. There are certain neshamas, like Rav Shimon ben Yochai, the Arizal, it's brought down about a number of great, great neshamas. Their avaydah was much more spiritual than physical. To give you a simple example, we just had Lag Ba'Emer. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was in the cave for 13 years. He didn't have a lulav, he didn't have a sukkah, he didn't have matzah, he didn't have a shofar. How did he do all those mitzvahs? So it says in Kabbalah, he did the mitzvahs in ruchnius. He did the mitzvahs spiritually. There are certain tzaddikim that their avodah is completely removed from world, completely spiritual. There are other tzaddikim, their involvement is in the world. That's Sharabod. When Mashiach comes, it's going to, I don't want to elaborate on the whole thing of the Leviathan elevating the Sharabar, and Sharabar elevating the Leviathan by Shechita and then picking it up. Bottom line is, Hashem...
really taught Sharabar in the name of the Shechita that the people, the
Lubavitch, they were? Chabadniks, who had a slaughterhouse, called their meat Sharabar, for the Sharabar that will be when Mashiach comes. So they call the company Sharabar. What do you think it's called Sharabar for? Because they live about with Mashiach. Mashiach is going to come, the meat is going to be the Sharabar. So they call the meat company Sharabar. You're going to the store and buy Sharabar. That's why the name of the company is Sharabar.
Amen.
No, that's what they call Sharabar, because Mashiach comes, it's going to be the Sharabar.
How many tzaddikim?
Most of the tzaddikim are not Leviathan. Most of the tzaddikim are Sharabar.
But there's a lot of human fish.
Huh?
The tzaddikim are in Gan Eden, correct? So how could their neshama now be in fish?
Like, no, well then, no, they come down into the world sometimes to fulfill a certain mission. It says in Kabbalah, certain tzaddikim have to fulfill a certain mission coming down into it. I told you, don't ask me why, I don't know what it is. What?
Rabbi, were you going to continue and say that some are more spiritual than the other? Which ones are more like physical or...
Sherabar ones.
Which ones?
Like? Different tzaddikim, doesn't say names. But the other one says, Rashbi, Arizom. Okay, so Hashem created the Tanina Magdalim. And he took away one of them for when the time when Mashiach comes. And it's a salt. Why did he salt? Rashi says, Molchum. Because salt is a preservative. Every sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, no matter what it was, you brought a wine offering, you have to put salt. Al-Kol Korban Chotakir Melach. The puzzle is every single korban had salt in it. Salt is a preservative. And therefore, salt has, spiritually speaking, salt is a very great thing. It represents truth, which is eternal and preserved, and so on and so forth. So Hashem salted that the Tanina Magdalim for that was. Now, the Barbanel says, and this pasuk it says, "Vayivra Elokim es Tanina Magdalim." It's interesting. Normally, it says Vayomer. The last few times we had Vayas, we explain what that means. But the Barbanel says, why does the Torah say Vayivra Elokim? God created. So the Barbanel says, here, that it represents something new that didn't exist before. Meaning, this is the first time God puts souls into these animals. This is the first thing in the world that the Torah says, Nefesh Chaya. There's a living soul in it. So therefore, over here the Torah says, Vayivra Elokim, because God is creating something new in creation of putting a living soul into animals and fish and birds and eventually animals and people that didn't exist before. Okay. Now, he created everything, it's called Nefesh HaChaya, the whole marine life was created on Thursday. Birds, the entire marine life was created on, and all creepy things. Okay? Birds, Vayaro Lekim Kitev. Okay? God saw it was good. So Mefarshim explained what good is there. Because number one, people sustain themselves from birds and from fish. So Hashem saw it was good because it was good that people were able to sustain themselves from those things. Another reason why it says Hashem saw it was good, like we said before, the earth represents the Beinanim, the intermediary people. The fish represents the Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim and the Beinanim, they're not Rishayim, so it's good. So Hashem saw that it was very good that it happened. Okay, Vayivarech Ha'isem Elokim, Hashem blessed them. What?
I just find interesting watching birds sometimes, like over the ocean, even here, that they will like come so high, they'll see like a fish or whatever, and then they'll like dive down and go get it.
Yeah, so called the shalach. Called, bird is called shalach. Huh? It's Parshas Shemini and Parshas Re'eh.
Just that particular bird.
Mm-hmm.
So pelican. No.
Some people say it's a pelican, yeah.
So it's interesting though that they go from that more spiritual way to, I mean, like the opposite, isn't it?
They're going up.
Right. Well, they're intermediate, like they
don't. Yeah, but now Mayim is even higher.
So they're going by them diving down. Is that like a higher form?
Yeah. They're elevated, yeah.
That's very interesting.
First of all, that aspect, by the way, is the proof in the Gemara for Hashkacha Pratis and Divine Providence. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan said, Now he said, Kavachaz Shalach, when Rabbi Yochanan saw this pelican bird, he said, Mishpatecha Tahim Rabba. He said the Pasuk, God, that your judgment, Tahim Rabba, is in the ultimate depth. What does it mean, the Gemara says? What does it mean, God, your judgment is in the ocean? He said that when the pelican dives into the ocean, there is a judgment from God, which fish, this is what the Gemara says in Chulin, which fish should be caught at which time. Now, this is a clear proof that the Alter Rebbe brought from the Gemara that there is divine providence not only on mankind. Many authorities, yeah, even though there's a whole long thing from the Rebbe explaining that really, for instance, the Rambam officially says in Meir Nevuchim that divine providence is only on mankind. The Rambam in other places says differently. Okay? But the Baal Shem Tov said that there's divine providence in everything. Because of the constant power of Hashem in it, there has to be, okay. So the Alter Rebbe brought a proof to this concept that the Baal Shem Tov from this Gemara, by the way, Rashi quotes this Gemara later on in Parsha Shemini and Rei, where it speaks about the kosher animals, the kosher birds. So Rashi says, quotes this Gemara in Chulin, that Rabbi Yechim, when he saw Shalach, said, Mishpatecha Tehim Rabba, which means that there is a divine judgment which fish is going to be caught when. So the fact, again, everything Hashem created is to reveal His greatness. Yes, that's what it says. Legalu shleimus kechesiv upolaitav. The purpose of creation was to reveal godliness. This aspect of God creating the pelican, the shalach, that dives into the sea and picks up a particular fish at a particular time, that brings out an aspect of godliness called divine providence, which is an unbelievable great level. And that's what that bird brings out. You know, it's an interesting thing. Fish were not... How did the fish survive the Mabul, the flood? They weren't in the ark.
The boiling water.
So the Medrash says, Rashi brings it down in passing, the Medrash says the fish, the world was corrupt, right? The Pasuk says the world was corrupt, but not the fish. The fish were never corrupt. So the fish survived in the Mabul water. Even though it was boiling hot water, and a miracle happened because the fish behaved. I'm saying, fish, there's no ayin hara on fish. What did Yaakov Avinu tell Yosef? The yidgu lorei bekerevaz, you should multiply like fish. What does it mean, the Gemara says? Just like fish don't have ayin hara, because you can't see them. You know, you can't give an evil eye to something you don't see. Your fish are not seen. There's no eye and hara, so they multiply in great amounts. What?
So the land was contaminated, but not the water.
What's unique, water can never become impure. Water purifies. A mikveh can never, if it's a proper amount of water, can never become impure. If you take a mikveh and put the ultimate level of impurity, a dead body, into the mikveh, the mikveh remains pure. If it's a proper amount of, you know, proper rainwater with the proper amount, which makes it a mikveh, it can never become impure. Not only that, creations that come from the sea also can't become impure. There's no law of impurity even of a fish that leaves the water can never become impure.
So the dead fish in the water doesn't make that water impure?
No.
Excuse me. So the crustaceans and that we're not allowed to eat that are below
the what?
Like lobsters shellfish. And shellfish, crustaceans. They reside in the water.
Yeah.
So
it doesn't mean pure or not pure.
Pure. correct?
No, it's forbidden to eat. It's not impure.
Are they forbidden to eat? They're pure, though?
What do you mean pure?
Well, this is what I don't understand.
If you touch it, you don't become tummy, no.
Some religions have, I don't want to name them, have a fish as their, you know,
no.
logo. So what is
this? It's kind of fishy, yeah.
Why is it that they have a fish?
Well, ask them. What do you want from me?
I just was wondering if you have any.
In my religion, we have gefilte fish.
Is that why some, when you use a seaweed as a, to cover your ear or something, you can still use the mikveh and you're okay?
Not so much seaweed. It's interesting halach, by the way. You don't have it in Israel, they have a lot of them. Do you know, one second. You know, if somebody has to go to the mikveh, a woman has to go to the mikveh. Nowadays, it's more practical for women, yeah? And they have an ear infection. They can't get the ear wet, yeah? So the whole question, what do you do with your hand, finger, whatever? The best thing to do, you know, a sponge. We use a sponge in the kitchen.
From the sea, of course.
Okay, that's a synthetic sponge. There's a fish that's called sponge. The sponge we have in the kitchen is called sponge because it resembles the fish called sponge.
SpongeBob.
Huh?
Like
not SpongeBob.
Sponge fish.
What did you say? Sponge fish, yeah? Now, Alpidin, anything in the water or from the water does not make a separation. So if you take, in Israel they have a much more, here I've never seen it. But if let's say a woman needs to put something, or the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they needed to table for everything, Truma, going to the Beis HaMikdash, whatever, they needed to be pure, right? And a lot of times somebody had an ear infection, they couldn't get wet. They would take the sponge fish, cut a piece, whatever, and put it into the ear to block the water from going in. And it wasn't considered a separate entity. Why? Because the Gemara says, Davar from the Yam, ain't a chaitzitz. It's not a chatzitza, it's not a separation. It can never become tummy. Fish have this uniqueness. That's why they have the unbelievable bracha, pur vu milu samayim. Yeah, they have this bracha of, they are always with open eyes. There's a lot of interesting things you find about fish. Their eyes are always open, meaning they're always awake, so to speak. They always see what's going on, unlike people. They multiply a lot. They never sinned before the mabul with other types of fish and all that. This is a greatness of fish. That's why tzaddikim are likened to fish. In that respect. Okay. Vayivarech Eisam Elokim Pasuk Chavez. Hashem blessed them. Rashi says, why did he have to bless them? Because they're hunted down a lot and eaten. Now, if so, animals should also have a bracha. Because animals are also hunted. But Rashi says that Hashem didn't want to bless animals because the snake was an animal. Blessing the animal, the snake would be included, so he didn't want to bless the animals, but he blessed the birds and the fish. Okay? Also, the Sefurna says, when is the bracha fish noticeable? When they're in abundance. Okay, now, Vayivarech Eisam Elokim Lemer. Okay, now, the question over here, and the Farshim point out, okay, it says like this. God blessed them. Lamer saying. Okay? Which the word lamer is extra here. Because it says, Vayivarech Eisam Elokim, Pruervu. Be fruitful and we multiply. Before we go into that, what's Pruervu? Even the next time we're going to learn about six-day man, Pru means fruitful, or Vu means to multiply. If the Torah only said Pru, it would mean one kid. Or the vo means more than one. If it does say pru, be fruitful would mean one kid is also fruitful. Okay, but why does it say here the word lamed? Why is Hashem saying the word lamed? Meaning, one opinion says lamed means it should happen right away. God blessed them not for later on in history that they should be fruitful, multiply the fish, but it means instantaneously. In other words, it should be right away, and therefore Hashem endowed them with the potential at the same time when he gave that bracha. Some people say, no, it's Hashem's will within them as if he told them, be capable of doing what I told you to do. Okay. Okay, so now he says, pruvul means fruitful, multiply, not as, now, l'chayra, pruvul, by mankind, which is in the sixth day, Hashem commanded them. What's the first mitzvah in the Torah? Pruvul. By behemoths, it's not a mitzvah, pruvul, because animals have no free will. Fish have no free will to do or not. Hashem blessed them, lemer mean, not as a mitzvah that this is what you must do. Lemer means you have the potential to be able to be fruitful and to multiply and have an abundance of fish.
Yeah, they lay out the hundreds of eggs, the fish.
Yeah. All over the place. But he said, umilos hamayim bayamim, fill the waters in the sea. So the Ramban says, why does it say sea? It's not only in the sea. Because most of the fish are not in the streams, you know, in the small streams, most of them are in the ocean, in the big things. V'ayv yirav ba'aretz, okay, and the bird should multiply on the earth, increase on the earth. In other words, even though the birds also came from the water, but nevertheless, the fact they're now on the dry land, when they're born, birds are not born in the ocean. Birds are born on dry land. So therefore, they also needed to be multiplied. And they have that bracha of being fruitful and multiply. Okay, vayere vayibaker. So it was evening, it was morning, yom hachamishi. So this is the, what?
The birds during the flood were on the boat, they were flying.
Boats were, the birds were in the teva. That's what Noach sent out the raven, and it came back, and finally the dove. The birds were there in the ark, in the teva, but not fish. No, normally, okay, so they swam in the water, but the water is boiling hot. It was a miracle that the fish sustained themselves. The whole teva was a miracle, but that's a second thing anyway.
For the birds
to be on the boat, like that, the teva,
is that also kind of miraculous in a way, or is that just they can live, like
they couldn't live in that water?
It's just not open air.
They couldn't live in that water. It was pouring water all over the place.
No, but they were covered.
The where?
Were covered, weren't they?
In the teva.
Right. So they were okay. They were in air underneath.
I mean, all the animals on the teva with them.
No, but I'm saying that naturally the birds are like, they need to like go around and like...
The Arizal writes that the Teva was similar to the era of La'asid Lavi, of Mashiach's coming. Because if you think about it, on one floor were all the animals. You know, not all animals get along. Yeah? Okay. When Mashiach comes, to Begorze, even Kevis, the wolf and the lamb will live side by side. Now, they don't live side by side. So, in the teva, the fact that all the, not only space-wise, the teva was not that big. Okay? It was 600 feet long.
Football field.
No, football field is 300 feet long. Hello?
Seriously?
100 yards, 300 feet.
On the table was?
Shloshmeir Samas. 300 Amas. So 600 feet. Less than 600 feet. Okay. But you know what it is, Steph? How big is a zoo?
Two football fields.
Much bigger. Yeah, but all the animals are living together. Seven of the kosher animals. Two of the non-kosher animals. You're talking about elephants, hippopotamus. You're talking about massive creatures. Yeah, giraffes.
Zoo doesn't have all the animals.
Yeah, what?
It was interesting because last year we did a research project on the zoos and we called them and they actually said that they take in the animals at nighttime to these, they have their own like little apartments. They don't just stay in their little areas because
right.
It's very scary for the animals at night.
So it says, you know, after the teva, after the mabul, Hashem said to Noach, "Tzei min ha-teva." Tzei min ha-teva. You can imagine you cooped up in one place for a year. This, why did Hashem have to command? As Rashi says, Noach didn't want to go out until Hashem commanded him to go out. Yeah? See, so because he was afraid, he didn't know, right? But in Kabbalah, in Chassidus, it says, you know why Hashem had to tell him to leave? Noach didn't want to leave the Teva. He said, this is the era of Tchias HaMesim. This is the era of Mashiach, where everybody's living together.
So the birds also
moved. As much as he was busy, that he got bitten and banged and kicked and everything, yeah?
And no fish.
No fish. They couldn't eat fish, we're going
to
tell you.
Rob, what happened to the dinosaurs? What did we do with them?
Dinosaurs were either extinct before the flood, either that happened, or they were in the Teva somehow. Nobody says dinosaurs never existed. Dinosaurs existed.
Most of them are birds and cattle. And...
yeah, but it was an abundance of things, and that much space was impossible.
So what are you going to do about those pesky T-Rexes?
You go to, whatchamacallit?
LeBrea Tarpitz.
Yeah, go to LeBrea Tarpitz. They'll have them there, Mashiach. They'll put them there when Mashiach comes. No, but there was, even the birds were flying around. There were lions and tigers. I mean, come on, there was tons of stuff. Okay, there weren't seven elephants, there were two elephants. Kangaroo is a kosher animal, I think. What? Is it? I don't know.
Kangaroo?
No, probably not.
No.
Come to think it's not. Okay, so there are two kangaroos. But there are seven of kosher animals, right? Giraffes are kosher animals.
Giraffe.
Okay, so there's seven giraffes. There's a lot of...
giraffe
is kosher, except you can't shecht it. You don't know where to do the shechita.
I thought they figured that out lately.
Why did Hashem want the seven versus the two for the kosher?
To bring karbonis from it. That's when their brother called me. So why did Hashem tell me to bring seven? Because obviously he wanted me to bring a carbon from that. Let's just see one thing here.
Seven pears or seven?
Most opinions say seven. Shiva, Shiva, some people say means 14. Most people say it means... yeah, I'll show you.
Seven male, seven female
makes
more sense.
No.
They have to be equal, male, female.
Okay, so here he says seven pairs, okay, which is 14. Other mefarshim learn that seven doesn't mean 14; it means seven altogether. Six, male and female, who want to bring as a carbon.
Oh, okay.
That's what they say. Okay.
The carbon was usually male?
Yeah.